Done. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Pockets of Hope podcast. I am your host, Melina Juin-Pierre, and I'm so happy to have you tuning into this brand new episode. And I'm even more excited to introduce my guest for this episode, Miss Queen Naisha Tillis, my girl, my sister, my friend. Oh my God, it does my heart so good to see her smiling face, because I know that joy, it comes, you know, she's a beautiful girl, she's a beautiful queen, but her joy, hallelujah, it comes from the Lord. And I'm so happy to always, you know, to be able to experience being in her presence. So without further ado, I would love for Naisha to say hello to everyone. Welcome to the Pockets of Hope podcast.
Hello, hello, hello. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be in the space of hope. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And I'm excited to chat with you.
Absolutely. You know, Naisha, like I said, pre-recording, before we started recording, that, you know, I just want us to talk today. You have so much going on. And I believe that by you sharing your story, it will inspire, you know, young people, it would inspire men, women, children, just people from all walks of life. You know, you're not, your anointing is not limited to you know, a specific set of people. And so I'm so happy to have you here. And I'm so excited. I'm just going to jump right into it. I'm so excited that I have a copy of your book. I'm so excited that I have, yes, your first book, because I know that it's the first of many to come. Oh my God, I love the title. It is called Uncaged, Release Your Inner Queen, written by Naisha Tillis, the one and only. First of all, I am so proud of you, because I know the work. I know the time and the effort that you placed into producing and just releasing that part of your potential and, you know, and birthing this book, this gift to the world. And, you know, I've had the pleasure of reading it. And so, you know, I just want to hear your thoughts on your experience, your process. You know, okay, what was that like for you? We're going to start there and then we're going to dive into the title, because I really want to talk about the title today.
Sure.
Yeah.
So the process of writing for me, I guess, wouldn't be that of a typical writer. And that's because I never considered myself to be a writer. English, for some people, that may take this by surprise, was not my strongest subject. It was my least favorite, my weakest subject. Although I love speaking now, it wasn't something that I was good at back then. However, I love journaling my thoughts and knowing that in my journaling, it didn't require this sense of perfectness, because it was just for my eyes only. And after my reign as Miss University of the Bahamas, I wanted to share my experience to getting to that point. And when I say that point, I began this personal journey or movement called Uncaged. And as I'm going through this personal movement and journey, I decided that I want to share it, but not in a typical way. I didn't want to just share it on social media. I didn't just want to talk about it. I wanted to literally give this gift or share this movement and personal journey in a special way. Thus, the birth of Uncaged.
My God. Yes. You know, I would like to think that I am a part of the Uncaged movement, because I have been touched by what you have shared with me. Even, you know, over the past year, has been tremendous between the two of us, and just showing how God can appoint people in your life or bring two people, divinely connect two people, because both you and I, we come from the same place, from the same island, and, you know, not just the same island, but the same place. We're both from shanty towns, a street separated our shanty towns, but, you know, people, when people describe the shanty towns, they don't differentiate them. It's the same, it's the mud, you know? And so that's where we're both from. We are, you know, went to the same schools, you know? And so your book, it truly took me back. It took me back home, even when you shared of the loss of your friend, who was also a mutual friend of mine. This is someone that, you know, I grew up with. We were in the same age group. We were all in the same age group. And I think we laughed about that. We're all 1991 babies and, you know, and stuff like that. So it was a thing. And so this book really, truly resonated with me. And I believe it resonated with so many others in our set, you know, and our peers from the area where we grew up in. And I must say, you know, on behalf of everyone, I think that I can speak for everyone, that we are so proud of you. We are so proud of your accomplishments. We're so proud of the way that you do not wear, you know, coming from a shanty town as a badge of shame, but you wear it as something to tell somebody else, hey, it does not matter where you come from. God still will use you. You still have purpose. You still have potential to be, you know, more than you could ever imagine, you know, but it's a special thing when you, you know, submit to God in order for that process to be ignited in your life. And I picked that up in your book. You know, there was a lot of letting go that had to happen in your life, relinquishing your own power. So you are releasing control in order to gain confidence, in order to gain control. Listen, I saw all of the themes in this book. It's so much.
Yep,
it's so much that can, it's so much that can come out of these pages. That's so potent, you know. And so let me give you a chance to talk about your book, you know.
thank you
yes.
But I want to firstly start by saying I love the fact that you started off by talking about, you know, me sharing where I'm from and not using it as a badge of shame, because I actually just spoke to someone about it yesterday. And I think you're only able to embrace it and have this posture of knowing that, you know, it's made you who you are, but it's not something that should be hung over your head, is when you submit it to God. Because who am I to despise that the Lord chose that very place to mold me? Who am I to say, God, you made a mistake there, you know? And although to the natural eye, it may be seen as a dirty place, a slum, shanty town, but God said, that's where I want her to be. And I think when I honestly and truly came to the realization that if he literally plans everything and everything that he does is good, even though man's perception of that place isn't good, God saw it fit for me to be there, and that was good. And that's when that badge of shame literally disintegrated, because it was something that I was ashamed of, you know, and that was when I didn't really understand me. And that was when I was trying to be in control, like you mentioned. I'm trying to control so many different moving parts that had to do with external parties, that had to do with external entities and thoughts and processes that didn't have anything to do with what God was telling me and myself, the only person that I can control. And I think for me, and like you said, there are tons of different themes in this book, but what was most important is me sharing my story in particular and using that as the foundation and driving force between people understanding that they're not alone. And I think that for me, if I had to choose a common theme, would be, you know, you're not alone, because I've been through a whole lot, as you know.
Yes.
And once again, each thing came with a different season, required a different level of strength and faith and confidence, and also required me letting go of something.
Yes.
And for me, understanding that I am literally giving this gift to someone so that they know they're not alone in the fight of uncaging, breaking free, and breaking free from sometimes self too. And there was a whole lot of breaking free from self in this book, but breaking free from self, breaking free from society and what they say about you, and really tapping into your inner queen and that inner queen, that royal priesthood that he said that we already are, really stepping into that full, the fullness of that person, releasing, right, your royal heritage that's already in you, that we were born into,
right?
Yeah. So for me, the common theme, although we have tons of themes, but I say the overarching theme and purpose, though, for this is just really to share with women in particular, although it can, anybody, literally anybody can read this book and relate. But when I did write this, I wrote this from literally my heart. I share some things and hey, that a beauty queen probably shouldn't say that you would never even think about. but for me, it was just about being my authentic self and sharing that with the world so that they know that you can take the mask off. The mask can come off. We've all been through it. We're all going through something, but you can be safe.
Yes, that is so true. And you know, the beauty of it is it's a never ending process. Each level, each step that you go, it's almost like, okay, I was in this little small cage, you know, I had a lot of things going on with your story, with, you know, experiencing the violence that you saw at the, and shoots, I saw that too, you know, just coming from poverty, coming from a place of lack. So you were really close in and your options were very limited. You know, the things that were, you know, offered to you were just you had to fight. You had to fight to break out of that. And so you step into a greater arena now when you, and I likened it to when you entered Miss Bahamas, Miss University of the Bahamas, correct?
Yep.
Right. So that was one arena. It was it was a wider arena. Yes, there was more freedoms there. There were more opportunities there, but still there were limitations, and so you still had to push. And so you entered Miss World, I believe, and then you did shoots. You
another
did that
one.
Another one, you know, and you know, ultimately you entered. You entered Miss Supernatural, Miss Supernational. You entered Star Search, which brought you into, you know, Miss Supernational Bahamas, you know, and now you are entering a much greater arena with, you know, it's wider, but you're, the way that you see yourself bigger. You understand that you can overcome limitations because you've done so before. You understand? So it's almost like you don't feel like you're in a cage right now because it's so far.
Yep.
But when it's time, because it's so wide, But when you get to that end point, you're going to see, okay, time for the next thing. I need to break out of this cage to step into a bigger arena. And so that's
totally
life.
Relate. And Melina's giving y'all some real tea here because she's already talking about part 2 and 3 of my book.
Oh,
but
there you go.
Part one ends with my Miss University of the Bahamas journey. And after my Miss University of the Bahamas journey, as Melina would have mentioned, I compete in Miss Universe Bahamas twice. I then literally stumble upon another pageant system.
Yes.
And I'm only able to see that and know to go after it because I'm in alignment with God and what he said. And I think once again, going back to letting go, because I also had to let go of what I thought he said or what he was doing in that one season to be prepared to walk into what he was doing in another, because my mind was set on Miss Bahamas Universe. Like that's what God told me. I'm going to be first Bahamian to wear the crown of Miss Universe. Like, That was on my mind. But when I literally, when that door was shut, I had to literally understand that he was saying, navigation system on, you know, like when you take a wrong turn or something happened and then reroute. He was rerouting me. Oh, Lord. I'm so sorry. He was rerouting me and in another direction because he had something else for me. And once again, I had to let go of what I thought he was doing to be prepared for what he was about to do. And that was the only way I'm able to sit here now as Miss Supernational Bahamas.
Yes.
Because I had to let go of Miss Bahamas Universe.
Yeah. Oh my God, listen, that's so powerful. A dear friend said something on a Facebook Live, Thriving Thursdays, Janae Robertson, just gonna throw it out there. That's a powerful woman of God. And she got a revelation about rerouting and the navigation system. And so she was saying her story. She was driving, yada, 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 and she needed to use the GPS to get to where she's going. But she, made a wrong turn, so she had to, pull over, stop. But the GPS didn't pick up to the new direction until she started driving. So for and even as knowing, being close to your situation, being close to what your journey, and knowing, step by step, hey, some things had to happen. When you messaged me, when you message or call or WhatsApp, whatever it was, you told me that you were, going, you were entering another pageant. Could you believe there's other opportunities coming? That was you, because there was a moment that you stopped, but
That
that was
was.
you putting your life on gear and actually taking that step forward. And then
With
God
tears in
showed
my
you.
eyes, I'm gonna say that proudly because there are times when literally you have two choices. You can sit down and literally wallow in your tears, or you can move in them. And there was a phase where I wallowed in it. I sat, I didn't want to do anything. I just cried. I was devastated because, God, this is what you said, and it doesn't look like it right now. And I literally know there's no, well, there's no such thing as impossible with you. But to my natural mind and eyes, how can you do this? I'm past the age limit now. There's no going back. How are you now going to do this thing you said you were going to do? I sat there and I wallowed and played in my tears. And then I decided to get up and move with tears still in my eyes because I'm still feeling the pain of me not seeing the fruit of my labor because I worked.
You worked. You worked.
And I want to share that because sometimes you go through things or sometimes you expect something and it doesn't happen the way you think it would, and you feel like you don't cry. There's a phase. You stop for a
Oh no,
second, but you
you
have to keep
cry.
going,
Yeah,
right? Your friend, she
yeah.
stopped for a second, but she had to move in order for the navigation system to kick back in. But she had to stop to regroup. She had to stop to gather herself and her sense of direction to even know where to go
Yes, where
next.
to go next.
It's okay. And I did that. I stopped. I'm like, okay, clearly this is not it. What am I not seeing, Lord? Literally with tears in my eyes and a hint of attitude because,
Yes, you know, we can talk to Daddy
I'm not gonna
that
lie. I'm not gonna lie, Mo. With a hint
way.
of attitude, like, what are you doing? Because I've seen
Yeah.
it, But I listened. I heard what he said. I heard the next move with tears in my eyes because I don't want to do this again and experience the same thing, hurt, pain, shame, embarrassment, or any of that again. I'm still hesitant, but I still move with tears in my eyes. And I message you.
Yes, you must move even with tears in your eyes. Do not quit. That literally was the theme of my week. That was the theme of, I'm glad to be, ending the week with the same theme of not quitting, not giving up. It was something that when I watched your interview for Miss Su for Star Search, because
Oh,
you
okay.
guys, yeah, when I watch it, there was a question that they asked you, and basically because they they brought up the they brought up your whole going back into the different pageants year after year, and you said something to the effect of pivoting. It's not about giving up, but pivoting, changing the way that you do what you do. So if it doesn't work one way, shift, make your turns, gather, collect yourself, gather and try it another way, because there's always another way as long as you know what the end game is, as long as you know what the goal is, and that that really, I was like, yeah, my girl answering. My girl
Listen,
my girl is answering.
You gotta know how to pivot, you know?
Mm-hmm,
like, if
mm-hmm.
you're called to do hair and
mm-hmm.
you can't do hair anymore, start teaching
mm-hmm.
hair. Start
yeah.
selling hair. Start
mm-hmm.
start creating hair accessories.
Yeah.
Like, hair could still be the assignment, the goal, the dream, the mission, but there's
mm-hmm,
so many
mm-hmm.
ways you could do hair.
You can do it, yeah.
You just gotta know how to move. You have to
you,
pivot.
Mm-hmm,
like,
mm-hmm.
there's no such, and then is literally the question. I think the question was, when is it a good time to give up? And I said it's
yes,
never
a good time
to
give up. Yeah.
Never.
It's never. Yeah. So don't quit. Don't give up. Don't quit.
Not
now, we're not saying if you're doing something bad to not quit. We're saying if it has to do with your purpose, if it has to do with what God called you to do, if you know that you have been assigned by God, you've been called by God to work in a particular space, to, you know, to dominate in a particular area, you cannot quit. The going will get tough. And even as I speak, I'm ministering to myself. The going will get tough. You will feel as if, you know, especially for someone like, you know, if you are a mother, if you have, you know, children, or you just a working person, you have responsibilities, you're like juggling everything. Sometimes you just want to throw everything down, but you can't. You just keep going, keep moving.
Yep.
Extend grace to yourself. And like Naisha said, with tears in your eyes, you move, but you do not quit. Because there's so much riding on your success, so much riding on your faithfulness to complete the task.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much riding on that.
That was so good. That was good. Because literally it requires you to have faith to complete it. And something I started saying at the latter portion of my journey is if you sit down and do nothing, you then make God a liar.
Yeah.
You make him a liar.
Yeah.
He can't lie.
He is not a liar. Exactly.
But if you sit there and do
essentially
nothing,
you lying. Yeah, you essentially you lying to yourself, you know. Whenever I watch, you know, Elevation Church, an old message would always come up, and that message has been speaking to me since 2019 when it was first preached. Wind versus word. Okay, so in life, there's always going to be forces that's working against you. That's the wind. But you don't move because of the wind. You move because of the word that God spoke to you. And so Pastor Stephen Furtick was speaking on, you know, Peter, him stepping out of the boat during the storm to walk to Jesus. So Peter walked on water, because Jesus released a word to him. You understand? And so that is not, oh, Peter had faith and he walked on water. Yes, he had faith, but he walked on God's word, not on just the water. He walked against the wind on God's word, not on the water. And so when you are moving, hallelujah, when God gives you a word, it's going to feel like you're walking on water because it's going to seem impossible.
Keep in mind,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to add to that, right?
Yeah.
He chose to listen to his word.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm sure
mm-hmm.
the other people in the boat was talking to him.
Exactly.
Like, where do you think you're going? You sure you can make it? What
mm-hmm.
you doing? Stay in this boat.
And, you know, they thought he was some sort of sea monster. They thought he was some sort of spirit, some sort of ghost. And he said, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come. So sometimes you asking God for things and Jesus say, hey, come.
Said,
that was the word.
But when Jesus said, come, I'm sure
mm-hmm.
the disciples
mm-hmm.
on the boat still was talking.
Yeah. Exactly. Peter alone didn't have to come out, but distracted.
He
it could have been
was,
12 people walking on water, not just one plus Jesus. It could have been 12.
Could have been.
But
it wasn't. But keep in mind, not
mm-hmm.
only did he have the faith to go,
mm-hmm.
he also was able to turn off the noise in the market and listen
mm-hmm.
to the word that mattered most.
Most. My God.
Which was Jesus's word,
mm-hmm.
not the
yeah.
words of those in the boat and whatever they were
Ooh.
Saying.
My God.
They were there. They didn't disappear.
Yeah.
They didn't stop
mm-hmm.
talking. I'm sure they called him crazy. I'm sure all kind of things was happening. But regardless of what they were saying, Jesus said, come. He still chose to get out of the boat and listen to the word that mattered most.
Oh my God. Listen, that is so powerful. That is so powerful. And we are going to, we must end on that note because when me and Naisha get together, we will pour more. Listen, you definitely will be back on the Pockets
Thank
of
you.
Hope, but we are,
I'll be back.
Can you repeat that one more time for us before we close?
Sure. Listen to the word that mattered most, although Peter came out of the boat. Because he heard what Jesus said. That didn't mean the disciples wasn't talking on the boat. They were still there. They were still talking.
Yeah.
They were still calling Jesus a sea creature and all these other things. When he got on the boat, I'm sure they were still calling him, you sure you want to come out of this boat? You crazy? Even while he's taking his steps, I'm sure they were screaming and saying all kind of things.
His eyes
in
real life.
Fixed
on Jesus. Yeah.
The word he listened to was the word of Jesus.
Exactly.
So his focus
was
on the word that mattered
most. Focus on the word that matters most.
And it's only his.
Yep. And there you have it. That is your message of hope today. God bless you. God keep you. Thank you, Naisha. I know, like I said, you will definitely be back on the Pockets of Hope podcast. It is always a pleasure to speak to you. It's always so filling, so enriching spiritually. So God bless you and God keep you all until next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. So